Welcome to the Choose You Netcast. This is Jim Langlois with a word from Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's my prayer that this netcast will encourage and cheer you on as we join forces to draw the line in the sand, defending our faith and our households in the resurrection power of Jesus. Join me each weekday as we dig deeply into God's amazing word and bring up the rich treasures of his blessings. Are you ready?
Choose you this day whom you will serve. But that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house. I said choose you this day whom you will serve. But that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.
Thank you for tuning in. We're continuing our series called The Eight Basic Events of the End Times. And yesterday we began to discuss what does it mean that the church is the bride of Christ? Because when we take a look at the eight great events, or the eight basic events of the end times, I call the first one being salvation. Now's the day of salvation. The second one being the rapture, and that happens in a moment of time, and during that rapture, while we're up in heaven for 7 years of the tribulation on the earth, the first thing that happens to us is the judgment seat of Christ, and we've already explained that. The second thing that happens is the marriage supper of the Lamb while we're up in heaven. And when we talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, what does it mean that the church is the bride of Christ? Yesterday we said our marriage relationship with Christ actually has to do with a covenant of mutual faithfulness. And to be unfaithful or disloyal in that relationship would be a type of adultery. It's obvious to me that marriage in heaven is very different than we understand on earth. Obviously, the closest we can come to understand it is the marriage between a man and a woman. This would involve friendship, companionship, commitment, living together, intimacy, sex, raising a family, etc. But when we get to heaven, will we still be married to our spouse? Will we still live together? Be intimate, have sex, and continue in a family as we know it? What if our spouse has passed away and we remarried? What if we were divorced and remarried once, twice, or some three times? Who will we be married to in heaven, and who will we be living with? What about our young children that have different mothers or fathers? With whom will they live? Are there courts in heaven that decide these things? Is it true that we'll be married to Christ? Well, what does that mean, and how will that affect our other relationships? I personally do not have all these answers. However, the Word tells us quite a few things. The Sadducees asked an interesting question about a hypothetical woman who was married and widowed to seven brothers as each passed away. And in Matthew 22:28, they asked the question, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? In Matthew 22:29-30, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Well, I find it very interesting how the Message version interprets it, Matthew 22:29-30. It says, Jesus answered, you're off base on two counts. You don't know your Bibles, and you don't know how God works. At the resurrection, we're beyond marriage. As with angels, all our ecstasies and intimacies will then be with God. Well, now think of it. Ecstasies and intimacies with God? This may seem difficult to understand. However, I believe we can. There's a lot in the Word that will help us. Have you ever heard of a pericope? Dictionary.com defines it as a selection from a book, especially a passage from the Bible read at religious services. Pericopes are helpful because they create subtitles for important passages, typically containing more than one verse and less than a chapter. You could, in a sense, call them chapter or passage subtitles. My Bible software can search and compare by pericopes. Not all Bibles have them. But when they do, it's a helpful study aid. So let's study Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1-3, and verses 10-11. The New King James Bible has a pericope for this passage titled, The Good News of Salvation. Taking that title into context, it's obvious the passage will speak of how salvation will affect our lives. It says, The Good News of Salvation, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And then in Isaiah 61:10 it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Pay close attention to two things, the bride and the bridegroom's dress and voice. Their dress is the garment of praise, garments of salvation, and robe of righteousness. I like the word decks in verse 10. The groom is all decked out, so to speak, with ornaments, and the bride is adorned with jewels. Do you remember the day of your wedding? What did you do? You got all decked out, all adorned with the works, dressed up to the hilt. Why? Because it was your wedding day. For me, it was a tuxedo with shining shoes, cufflinks, bow tie. I got a haircut, showered and shaved, and added aftershave lotion to be sure I smelled good. My bride did the same, being meticulously clean, makeup, hair, perfume, the beautiful dress and jewelry, even flowers. Oh my. What else were we doing? We were rejoicing. My voice was one of great joy, great laughter, great merriment, and great, great praise toward the one I was to marry. What a day it was about to be. And as Isaiah 62:5 says, For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Well, here, the day of our salvation is likened unto a wedding. Its completion, victory, and the most intimate, committed relationship. However, if the bride decides to run away, she changes her mind and decides not to get dressed and loses her voice of joy and praise, then let me read you Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 31 through 32. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, We are lords, we will come no more to you? And verse 32, Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And Jeremiah says in chapter 25, verses 8 through 10, Therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. What we see here is the bride or the bridegroom has not accepted the words of the proposal. They have forgotten the day of their wedding. They want to be their own Lord. They have decided against the covenant. They have rejected the Lord of hosts. The result is the loss of their voice of mirth and gladness, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the lamp. Well, what is the voice of mirth, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the lamp? Well, the word mirth means gaiety or jollity, especially when accompanied by laughter. Mirth, glee, hilarity, merriment, jollity, and joviality. Mirth refers to the gaiety characterizing people who are enjoying the companionship of others. It suggests spontaneous amusement, a brief manifestation of laughter, an uncontrolled outburst of mirth. It's similar to when we get so excited we shout, "Hallelujah!" or "Glory!" The interesting thing about mirth is it's connected to enjoying the companionship of others. I remember at my wedding, that's exactly how I felt. Yay! Wow! Somebody say amen. Jeremiah prophesied it well in chapter 33, verse 11. He said, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, 'Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever,' and of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord." You see, most weddings have a band, music, and a reception with food and celebration. Much mirth is everywhere. What is all this saying? It's all about the wedding. It's all about salvation. It's all about our Lord. It's all about the final marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Are you getting dressed? Do you have the voice of mirth? Where's the band? Do I hear a hallelujah? Are you listening to his proposal? Have you accepted his proposal? And are you committed to the relationship? And what about the sound of the millstone and the light of the lamp? Revelation 18:21-23 says, "Then a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down, and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived." Note several things. The bride and bridegroom have lost their voice. The band has stopped playing. The craftsmen are gone. The millstone has stopped. And the light has gone out. I believe that due to the rejection of the wedding proposal of the Lord, not only has the covenant been broken, but their livelihood, business, prosperity, success in life, and all the promises in the Word of God, which is the light, have turned to darkness. They have rejected their Savior and eternal salvation. Do you have mirth? Do you have joy and gladness? Are you dressed in the garments of praise and salvation? What do you have to say about your wedding day? And are you accepting his proposal for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Our time is up. We need to come back tomorrow at the same time and same place. The 8 basic events of the end times. We'll see you then, and I call you blessed. You have been listening to the Choose You Netcast with Jim Langlois. If you have enjoyed this program, you can find out more about Jim Langlois Ministries on the Master's House website at tmhnow.org. That's tmhnow.org. On the media tab, you can listen to many more messages, subscribe to my daily devotional emails, and follow the link to my blog site. If you'd like to write me or become a financial partner with this ministry, my address is The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. That's The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. Online donations can also be made at tmhnow.org, and my email address is pastorjim@tmhnow.org. This is Jim Langlois saying be blessed, you and your whole household. Until next time.
Choose you this day. Well, that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.